Okay, today's daf is Daf Yud Zayin, and we're holding on Tet Zayin Amud Beit at the two dots, which is Heviru Lefanea. It's almost one third of the way up there. Heviru Lefanea Koshel Bishul Bisura. One of the indications that she is a betula in the Braita was that there was some kind of cup that was called a cup of Bisora. If it's Bisora, it's good tidings. Tidings that she's a Betula. There is a Girsa of the Oruch that has Bisurot with a Sama, which means that it was wine that was made from little bit unripe grapes that tend towards Boser to show that she was not yet completely ripened. So it was a Simen of Betulot. Omer Avada Barava, my kosher Bisura, it's a kos Yayin Shotshruma. Actually, what they would do is they would specifically, even though she wasn't a Kohenet, wasn't marrying a Kohen, they would bring Truma in Ma'avir Lefaneot, as if to say, Klomar, Ru'uya Haita Zo Le'echol B'Truma. This woman was completely clean of anything that would have made her into a Zayna, because she was a Betula, so she could have eaten Truma. Mat Yevar of Papa, what's that supposed to mean? To Amana, Lo'echol B'Truma. I mean, there's something wrong with an Amana. I mean, you're making it seem as if sex is dirty or something. I mean, what does that have to do with truma? I mean, you're claiming that there's something that about an amana would be different. That's not nice. Yeah, l'amar of papa, it means zo reshit ki truma reshit. Use truma because the way that truma is referred to in the Torah is as the first fruits, first produce. So we want to say that this relationship that the Kala has here in this marriage with this chosen is the equivalent of Reishis. It's Truma. Didn't catch it because you're covering the thing. Yeah, but it didn't catch it because you were covering the... That's the meaning. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer, Chovichel Yain Ma'avir Lefaneha, wasn't a cup of Truma. It was actually a barrel of wine that they would pass in front of her. And Rav Barav explained that they actually used a not all that subtle metaphor. So for a betula ma'avir lefaneha situma, be'ula ma'avir lefaneha p'tucha, they would use an open barrel as a simen to a be'ula, as if to say she was already open. And for a betula, they would use the closed barrel. It's not the first time we have found that barrels of wine are central to the betula-be'ula relationship. Now this has, it has more than the mechanical implications that we saw earlier, but the idea of the wine and the wine that played a role in the Eitz Hadas and the original elements of wine and the original chitun, Kiganet and Mikedem, we've seen many remozim to these issues, are specifically elements of Bitula and Bilula. So we keep all these things consistent with the people understand them or not. Ask the Gemara, why be so graphic? Why don't we simply... Why can't we just say, we'll take a barrel of wine and pass it in front of the betula, but in front of a bula, don't. And that will be the simon, that we don't. Well, no, because the lack of doing something is not very much of a sin. I mean, suppose, zimnin de tafsa matai, let's say that this woman goes ahead and she's holding money of the chassid. In a case, explains Tosis, where she would have had a migo to say, what money? Well, she's holding money. And she goes into court and she says, I'm holding money, but I want you to know that I was a betula, and that's the money that I'm holding, and I'm going to keep that amount, I'll give you back the rest. And he claims that she was a be'ula. And they say, well, where's the kos, or the chavis? She says, well, they couldn't afford it. Or they were half drunk. Or it was too heavy. Whatever she says. I mean, so over there we're afraid that not doing something is going to be capable of being explained away. And in cases where we have to be motzi miyada, where she also has a migo, we wouldn't be motzi. Therefore, we want to make it dependent in a positive edus. So the zimnin de tavsa matayim rama ana betula avoy, v'hoda lo avra kamoye tenusi odat nisa. They all got drunk. When it comes to smaller issues, we'll see later on, for instance, the chiluk klayot, which is an either or. In other words, if she's a betula, we will, and if she's a betula, we won't. That is not considered to be a problem, because what does it take? It's no tirch at all, as Tosis explains. And that's a simon that you can make sure is positive, despite the fact that it would just not be done. The not doing it is a statement. Tana Rabbana. Up until now, we explain what we said earlier. If Eviru Lefaneha Koshel Bisura. But the other thing we said earlier was Rokdu Bifaneha. Okay, so now let's move on to explain that. We explain the Koshel Bisura. This is not just coming in the middle of nowhere, Ketz and Marakin Lefaneha Kala. It's an explanation of Rokdu Bifaneha. What is the mode of Rokdu Bifaneha that would identify this as the chasana that is a siman that she was a betula? So Beit Shammai Amrim, well, basically, you have to say it like it is, you know? So you dance around and you say, the ugliest kala there ever was. No, that's not what he means, but of course. What he means is that you pick something nice about her, and you sing about that, you know? The kala's got the nicest shoes we ever saw this year. So Beis Hillel says, wait a minute, I mean, what's the chassid going to think about that? That all they could figure out to sing about were the other things. Obviously, they've all noticed. So that's not a very nice thing to do, says Beit Hillel. And therefore, we say kalanda avachasuda. You talk about a kala who is lovely, and chasuda means this lotion of chen, that she radiates niceness, you know. Really now. She's lame and blind. So you say, Kala na'ava chasuda. I mean, didn't the Torah say something about midvar sheker tirchak? What is that supposed to mean? A guy already spent his money, and he brings back to the house, and he shows you he's all proud about the great bargain that he got, one of these Chinese TVs, you know. So you shabchen abeinav, you can abeinav. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to, you idiot. For a little bit more, you could have had a decent TV. Instead, you bought yourself this piece of junk. No, you tell him, oh, it's really very nice. Now, what about, I mean, what kind of raya is this that Beit Hillel bring to Beit Shammai? I mean, why wouldn't Beit Shammai say the same thing? So they'd say, no, you got to say it like it is, or you say what's nice about it. But, I mean, why would you lie? So, I mean, as Stosis explains, of course Beit Shammai agrees that where there's no point, and where the person understands that your response is to the fact that he's already done this. So, okay, of course you shabchen abeinav. The problem that Beit Shammai had was in a takana. It doesn't make sense, he said, to make a takana that the Rabbanon are mechayev you under all circumstances to tell a lie. I mean, what kind of takana is that? You want to find your way around midvar sheker tirchak, okay, but don't make a virtue of it to make a takana l'chatchila. That was his time. The truth is, in the bright of Mesechet Tzmachot, there's a little bit more about this, which adds a lot of information. Over there, the response of Beit Hillel initially is that midvar sheket tirchak comes together in the posik with nakiva tzadik al ta'aro. And that therefore, in context, midvar sheket tirchak does not mean two diukim he makes. First of all, it doesn't say misheket tirchak. It says midvar sheket tirchak. And that means that it's not that you have to be careful that with something is govel on sheker. It's where the thing itself really is sheker, which is not the case over here. Because we could talk about it from all kinds of point of view. We talk about it from his point of view. He obviously likes her. He married her. So you're saying, you know, I'm so happy that you found the kala nova chasuda. I'm not even talking about myself. Furthermore, says Beit Shammai, it says Beit Hillel, it says, v'noki v'tzadik al ta'aro. What does that have to do with midvar sheker tirchak? And so the point is, the Torah is saying that midvar sheker tirchak is meant in the context where it brings bad to the world, not where it brings good to the world. And there, indeed, we find that God himself says things that aren't quite true. I mean, because the real emet of the world is the binyan of the world, not the stira of the world. So what are you going to go? It's the American version of honesty and letting it all go. That's destructive. That's not valuable. That's not truth. Honesty isn't truth. Honesty is for adolescents. And this is the Brisa, the second Tzmachot. So, and as a last resort, he says, and by the way, people know this. What idiot goes in when his friend brings him back the Chinese TV and says, you're crazy? If he asks you before he buys it, you tell him. If he's asking you, so what do you think? You say, wow. So, all right, what does wow mean? I mean, what does he say, wow? So, Kala Nova Chasuda is meant to be understood, therefore, as we'll see in a moment, the Raya, incredible Raya, is meant to be understood as being as I am here, seeing this kala through your eyes. I am relating to the kala the way your eyes must see it. And therefore, continues the Gemara, mikan amru chachamim, which most people have no idea what it's supposed to mean. From here, the chachamim bring a raya that lo olam tehi da'ato shel adam u'revet im abriot. So what people think this means is to be nice to people. Should always be nice to people. What does it have to do with da'ato u'revet im abriot? So the real meaning is mu'urav. Da'ato mu'urav means, remember that da'at is the way that I view things. Where da'at, that's the way I connect to the world, is da'at. So where my da'at is not mu'urav with other people's da'at, I can only see things in the way that I connect to them. If I allow my da'at to mix with other people's consciousness, that means that I can see things through their eyes. And if I see things through their eyes, first of all, l'maisa, I become tolerant. Because I can see other ways of seeing this. And in which case, the activity of someone who's da'at mu'urevet im abriot, which is how it came to mean to be a nice guy. Why would I say it that way? As it does say, what does this have to do with? So therefore, the makor of the idea of mu'urav im abriot, how did it come to mean a nice guy, is because it actually is a very profound statement. People usually walk around as nuclear entities, and their deot are nuclear deot. This is the way that I relate to things. If a person allows himself to expand and see, or see somebody coming down the street and you see the world through his eyes, which is something that one learns to do, then the whole feeling about other people is completely different. In which case you're able to be meshabeach the kala through the eyes of the chosam. And therefore, since Beit Hillel said that this is the way that the chachamim were mitaken to say, it must teach us a chiyuv halacha l'maisa that le'olam tiyeh da'atar shel adam u'revet im abriot. Otherwise, why would they make such a takana? That's the point. Fantastic, powerful thing. It changes the way that you literally lead your life at all times. All right, which is much more than the idea of tolerance and multiculturalism and so on. It's literally to be able to, your da'at should be interrelated, connected with the way other people look. It's something that takes a great deal of practice. Sorry, just have kids at the airport. So, it continues. Kiata Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Ochi Mashru Kamikalata Bemarav. I'll tell you what they sing in Eretz Yisrael. They say, Lo kachal, velo srag, velo pirchus, v'yalatchein. This girl, basically, you don't need eyeshadow, you don't need rouge, you don't need fancy hairdos. The point is that she's malachin. And malachin, of course, there could be a chigera to suma. They avoid all problem. You know? And maybe there's even a remez in the fact that, boy, she looks pretty bad. But what can you do? You know, she's yalatchein, looks a little srag. The point over here is we're not looking for the outside. And what's the outside? The outside basically is a pile of rouge and of blush. That's what we're going to look at. You know, the outside is a fancy hairdo. Who cares about that stuff anyway? What we want to see is that she's yalatchein, and so that we see she's yalatchein. Kisamcha rabbanim Rabbi Zeira. When the rabbanim gave smicha to Rabbi Zeira, that's what people were singing at the smicha. Shorele yochi lo kal v'lo srak v'lo pirchus v'yalatchein. This is a guy that, first of all, he's not the way that we say in Hebrew to be a phony, is to be tzavua. He's not tzavua. He's not a person that goes around covering up his face, covering up his eyes. We know what he's thinking. He's honest. He's decent. Doesn't walk around like the big Talmid Chachamim ship above all with their fancy black begodim and their turbans, because they're Einam B'nai Terah, as the Gemara says. He's just a person who doesn't hide anything, and that's the kind of guy we like. And he's malachain to us. Some say Rabbi Zeira indeed looked pretty bad because he was always betaynis. Maisim Gemara says in Nida. And nonetheless, to us, he's beautiful. Kisomcha rabbanu rabbami.
It means chain goes up.
Yeah. I mean, it's more than that. It's a yalat chain, is that the chain surrounds him. It's not that he's malach, and he is yalat. When they gave smicha rabbami v'rabasi, so everybody at the party sang like this. Komin dein v'chomin dein smochulanu. Give us more of these. People like this, yes. We're happy to have rabbis like that. But please, no more of the other kind of rabbis. Lo tisbechu lano, lo min sarmisin, velo min sarmitin, varmi lo min chamisin, velo min turmisin. There's all kinds of lashonas, what exactly these are. The sarmisin.
Smart too, sounds like smart.
Too. Yeah. So don't give us any of these sarmisin guys. Sarmisin is a lashon of sirus, people that cut things up and put them back together as they like. You know, so they'll create the halacha and they'll make it sound really good. It's just like sarmitin. Indeed, Rashi here says it's a lashon of smart tooth. Don't give us rags. Chamisin, they tell you 1/5 of something that makes sense. Or others say they learn 1/5 of Masechta and they believe that they know something, which is definitely a modern kind of thing. Well, let me, turmisin, here Rashi says turmisin, I know what it means, but turmisin, elsewhere it says anashim reikanim, and Rashi himself brings this elsewhere, or chamisim, these are the of chamas, that they keep away, they'll never tell you anything about the real reasons for the Torah, the insights into the Torah, they're always talking about what you're supposed to do, and they don't give you any sense of value in what you're doing. Rabbi Avu, Rabbi Yossi Mimetif Talabe Kesa, Rabbi Avu was a very powerful man in the Malchus as well, in Caesar's palace. In Caesarea, that's in Barnea's neighborhood. And when he used to go from the Mesifta, which is also in Barnea's neighborhood? Oh, you don't even know. When he went from the Mesifta to the Beit Kesar, so the Nafkan Amhata, the Beit Kesar, the Apeo Mashinle, the workers in the Beit Kesar used to come dancing out and they would sing the following. Rabbi Dami, great man of his people, Umadbar Nadumase, leader of his nation, Utsina de Nuhura, as the Gemara says, he was exceedingly beautiful, that he was as beautiful as Rabbi Yochanan was. Women workers, yes. Yeah, thank you. Yes, you're right. And the beauty of him was similar to the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan, which is traced back to the beauty of Yaakov Avinu. So they were very blown away by how beautiful he was. He would be like shining. So they called him the light in the lamp, or the candle in the lamp. Urich matyech lishlam, blessed is your coming in peace. They say about Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, he probably didn't say Kriyat Shema at the time. Shaya notel bat shel hadasim. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi would take a branch of hadasim, umraked lifnei hakala, v'omer kala na'ava chatsudah. And of course, the hadasim are always a siman to tzadikim, ben hadasim midashim megillah, and hadasim are tzinuim, they're completely covered, many other elements of the hadas. But Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, he put him to shame. He was merakad atlat. He actually juggled with three branches of hadasim. Omer Rabbi Zeir. Now, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak was like Amish, the Godol Ador in his generation. Rabbi Zeir was like really embarrassed. But kamachzik lan saba. I mean, he's putting us to shame. What is this? The greatest guy in the generation is like, what is he, a juggler at chasinus? But kinach nafshe, when Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak died. Ifsik amuda de nura ben didei lekulei alma. So a amuda eish came up between his beer and everything else. Nobody could get near him. And Tosis brings from the Medrash that the amuda eish was in the shape of hadasim. So they understood that it was because of the schus of how he had danced at the weddings. The gemir, now we have a Kabbalah that such things almost never happen. Such a thing can happen only to an absolutely unique individual in a generation, or a case where there may be two people on the same madrega. Then such a thing can happen. If there's three people on the same darga, such a thing doesn't happen. And so they were blown away. Wow. You see? Look at that. That little branch of Adas really helped the great man. And Amrle Shtute the Saba, some say the stupidity, he acted like a nut. And Amrle Shitase, the Shita that he had about doing this. But whatever it was that he said, obviously, as Thursus points out, there's even other Ramazim over here, because Adas is called Shita. right? Hadas v'shita, they're both mina eres midarshim. I'm in the pasuk. So there's something about shtus, shot, shita, and hadasim that are interrelated. So they weren't just playing around. Though he was saying something unique about how it was that what he had done had this impact on his life.
Hadas shita.
Yes, we do. That's right. Now you got it. Although probably it's better to know it from the Navi, but that's not there. The Amr Lashitas in the Sabbath. Rav Acha, Markiv Lo HaKatve, Rav Acha would pick up the kala, put her on his shoulders, umarake, and dance around with the kala. What do you have to dance around with a dazer if you can pick up the kala? So everybody else thought that might be a good idea. Actually, looks like it's fun. So Amr Le Rabbanan, so the Talmidim said, can we do that too? Anan Maula Mevet Archi, would it be okay if we do that also? Marlo, absolutely. By all means, if the Kala turns you on about as much as a boar does, go right ahead. But that's my reaction. It's a Keshura. Why to say, why is she a beam? Because she has to support her home. The world is supported on the beams of Kalas. So that's fine. If you know that you have absolutely no connection, attraction, nothing physical at all, then go right ahead. But Ilolo, if there's any suffix in your mind that there might be something personal involved over here, don't you dare.
Tyson said he was old.
Whatever the reason is, he's also a chassid. Omrib Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omrib Yonatan. Mutar leistakel bifnei kala kol shiva kedei lechavava al ba'ala. You're allowed to stare at the face of the kala appreciatively so that the chassid will see, wow, everybody's really looking at her. She must be quite a looker, right? So you want to make him feel good about his choice. In order that she should be chaviva on her husband. However, we do not paskin like that. But let yokatakavate, thank you very much. We don't paskin that way. Tanarabona. Ma'avirina tamet milifnei akala. If there's two groups of people that have to use the same road, one of them is thousands of people that are going to Levaya, and the other is a group of people that are going to be Malava the Kala to the Chuppah, the people that are going with the Kala come first, and the mate is held back until after the Chasana procession is off of the road. Both of those, Bezeh Bezeh, Milifnei Melech Yisrael, both of those are held up in order for a melech to pass by. They say that Agrippas actually went on another road and let the Kala have the highway. Actually, the story is, and it's brought that Agrippas said, I get a keter every day. She's got one day to have a keter. Let her have her keter. And he went the other way. The Chachamim said that was a very fine thing to do. It says the Gemara, Shibchu, what? They said it was good? Bechlal the Shapir, Ochad, that's a good thing? Ha'om Ravashi, didn't Ravashi say that Afil Lamandi Amar Nasi Shemachalal Kivado, Kivado Machul, a Melech Shemachalal Kivado, in Kivado Machul? That even if a Nasi could be, which is a Machlokas, even if a Nasi could be Mochel on his covet, a king who is Mochel on his covet, the covet is not Mochel. The Omar Som Tasim Alecha Melech, Shetei Mato Alecha, because there's some, Rashi is much redarshing it from Som Tasim, so that even if he has been Merchel, there's a new Chiev of Sima now on the Mechila. So no matter how many times he'll be Merchel, there's always a new Sima that you're Chiev to do. Others learn it from the Alecha, it has to be on you. In other words, there's no way you can get it off of you. But whatever the diak is, this means that the nature of Malchus is violated by the king giving up in some way, and that's not his to be Meichel. That's the covet of the Am, and what right did he have to do that, and why would the Chachamim be Mishabeyachim? And despite the fact that Agrippas did not have the legal requirements of Malchus, and he was not Miachecha, at least not the best, and nonetheless, as Tosfos explains, people, the minig was that they were noyig with them like a melech gomor, and therefore this would have been a violation because people took this to be the way that one treats a king. So what right would Agrippas have not to assert his malchus? Answers the Gemara, Parashat Rachim Havoy. Look, he had come anyway to an intersection. It wasn't clear which way he needed to go. Nobody saw. He heard that there was a kala on the other road, and that if he turns that way, which was the way he wanted to go, It's going to mean that they're going to have to hold up the chuppah. So he said, okay, so let's pretend we need to go the other way. Nobody's going to know. So he went the other way, but it's not that there was a violation of his cover that anybody recognized. Then it's Stam Mitzvah Chassidus.
Sherman writes that when he left the inauguration of Eisenhower, so that he was being taken home, now the car stopped at a red light. This is the first time in many, many years.
Yeah, I saw that. Tana Rabbana. Mivatlin Talmud Torah lo hotza'at ha-meit ulachnasat kala. And the Braita says that for either Hotzat HaMeit or for Achlas HaSkala, we take people out of the Beit HaMidrash. And Amru Alav Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, and even though Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi was Torah Toh Monoto, nonetheless he was Mevatot HaMetor Lo Hotzat HaMeit Olach Nasat Kala. V'med Vorim Amurim Kishe Enimo Kod Tzorcho. Now this is only if the mate does not have sufficient people to honor him at his burial. Avo Yeshimo Kod Tzorcho Ein Mevatlin. If he's got enough people there without you, then don't bother going. The Kama Kol Tzorcho, what defines his full requirements? Omer Shmuel Bar Eni Mishmei Rav, Tracer Alfei Gavri. If there's 12,000 people besides you at the funeral, plus Shita Alfei Shipuri, plus another 6,000 of those little automobiles with the loudspeakers on top that speak in Yiddish. So if you've got 6,000 of those, and not that anybody understands what they're saying, but people ask, and something must happen, so they figure out. So if you got that, then that's okay. Now others say, you don't need 18,000 people. Actually, it's enough to have 12,000 total. There should be tracer, at least that's the way it is elsewhere. I'm a tracer alfei gavri u'minayushita alfei shipuri. Others say, 12,000, out of which 6,000 have those loudspeakers. So then, you can avoid going to the funeral. Ula Amar, kegon dechaitzi gavri mi'avula vatzichra. Ula says, look, it's not really a function of numbers. It's a function of appearances. So if from the point where you go out of, now either avula means, as Rashi learned, the sha'arei ha'ir, which is avula is the lashon of gates, or avula is the lashon of avelim, from the house of the avel where the body was removed, till the Beit HaKvarot. If the whole area is lined by people, that's sufficient. Now, obviously, that depends on the city and the situation. But there's an interesting Meiri who says that what this means is that if they're going the other way, you don't have to go. In other words, if you live between the house of the Oval and the Beit HaKvarot and they're passing by, then you should go. That's what it means. If they're going the other way, it's not that everybody that hears about this has to attend. But the honor is that the people that are along the route of the funeral, that they would be mevatel Torah and would come out.
Presumably this is just another double?
Right? No. We're going to see in a moment. Rib Sheshes, Vitema, Rib Yochanan Amar, and this is the psak, is netilatak and netinata. Look, the taking away of a Jewish neshama is taking away the Torah that person had. And that means that we're doing the opposite of Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, we needed 600,000 men to be present. If we take away the Torah, we can't do less than that. So you can't get away from the funeral unless there's 600,000 people there anyway. If there's already 600,000 people there, of course, this only happens with the Gedolei Torah, so on the TV they'll only say 200,000 people, so you'll always think that you have to go, right? But in any event, so it has to be Shishim Ribo, but this is only if he's not a teacher. In other words, if he's a person, Laman Dekori, Vatoni, he learned Chumash, he learned Mishnah, he's Epis of Talmud Chacham, but Laman De Matne, if he taught others, let La Shiura, 600,000 is not really sufficient. And over there, no matter how many people have to show up, they all have to show up. Now, even though there's a halacha lagabe taking care of the requirements for the funeral, that doesn't apply if there's a chevra kadisha in town. So if a chevra kadisha takes care of it, what's more is that if they're different chevra kadishas, then only people that are shayach to that edah, if you adat Ashkenazim, adat Pushim, adat Druzim, Gruzim, whatever it is, that then only the people that are shayach to that chevra kadisha would have responsibility. But they said that's dafka in terms of the preparations. But for the etzem levaya, that's universal. It doesn't matter if people have associations with groups. Death transcends the associations.
So you're supposed to go to a funeral?
Well, are you supposed to go to funerals? Yeah, I mean, the question is, what type of funeral is a funeral that is mechayev you? Obviously, you don't go to another city for a funeral. But they bring in somebody that's not from the city, there's nothing to do with you. If you don't hear about it, we have to know about it, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's already shallow. When is the chiyuv chal? What didn't?
Well, Rosh Hashanah, you need to go, right? You realize that.
That's down to the basic chorus, not only the funeral. The im yesh edim. Now, getting back to the Mishnah gave the minhagim at the time of the Mishnah for a betula. So, if there were witnesses that this woman at the wedding who claims that she was a betula and the husband is claiming she was an almana, that she went out with a hinuma, what exactly is that? My hinuma. So, Surchav Bar Papa Bishmein Ziri says. It's a tanura da asa. It's a mini chuppah that is shaped like a tanura is circular in those days. So it's like a mini chuppah that's made out of hadasim that would cover her head as they would, which became now like a little thing that we use to for the badeking. Besides the chuppah, they also use hadas and they make a flower arrangement over her head. And others say Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Kurita de Menamna Baba. It's actually a scarf that covers over her head and
like
is a veil type of thing that covers over her eyes. And de Menamna Baba Kalata, and since it covers her eyes, she often falls asleep under there. Nobody notices, you know. So it's called a Hinuma because she's Mitnam Nemet as if she was listening to the Daf Yomi. And oh, hello, hello, Capitan. That's even without the hinuma, imagine. So if there's a hinuma, it's the kind of thing that you can dremel away under.
It's the hat.
It's the hat, you think?
Not using that machine?
Yeah,
I am, but
I
shouldn't do any good when
I'm in the
MRIs. It's really the seal. Anyone that sits in the seal.
Yeah, I know, but that's the remez of Shiloh. It says, "Vayosef Hashem lahiraot b'shiloh neisher elyon b'shmuel b'shiloh." Something takes place in a particular occasion. It's not that the seed caused it; it's that Richie gave a certain level of kedusha to the seed. Yeah, it's interesting. In shul, there's a seat that everybody yawns in because there's a guy that used to sit there who would yawn the entire davening. Everybody who sits there suddenly also yawns. The weirdest thing.
If I cover my head when the Kohanim do a blessing, I inevitably yawn. Inevitably, every time.
Yawn. All right. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. All right. So we have now these various minhagim, throwing the adats, covering over the adats, and throwing the kloya. But I mean, obviously, these were all local minhagim. So in the Brit, indeed, it says that these things were a raya in Yehuda. That was the minig in Yehuda, and that was where the Mishnah was reporting from. Bavel mai, what type of things are done in Bavel? Omar Rav, so Rav said, in Bavel it's the dargulge de mishcha reshet rabbonim. The women would run around and rub oil into the hair of all of the Talmidim over there, and that is a simon of happiness, and that this is a shemen sasa and al roshta, that this is a betula. I'm like Rav Papa Labaya. Rav Papa had never seen this. He says, "What? Mashka bechafifuta? That's like some type of medical oil where they got problems with their scalp. Come on, Mar, that's what you're talking about. I'm like Yasma. What's the matter with you, orphan?" Lo avda lechayimcha darduge mishka reishir rabbanu b'shas. Michael, you're a chasna. Your mother didn't give out. What kind of wedding did you have? Your mother didn't pour oil on top of all the Talmidim's head?
It's just like these kids who come with the You
see, there's a marker for these horrible things, right? I know, it's interesting. Yasma elsewhere, Rashi says in the Chulin, Rashi says Yasma means below das. Because Abba ve'ima is Chochma and Bina. So a yosim to Abba v'ima, somebody doesn't have das. It's very interesting remez, but it's very good. Well, over here it could be, it means literally, you know. Here Rashi says, from this minute you're a yosim. It's as if you're a yosim.
Since he was,
yeah.
Why
what? Yeah, he wasn't there. You heard it over. So you asked Abaya, what is that supposed to mean? You didn't hear it that record.
Can you spray rose water, scented water
onto the cow? Oh, okay, it's the same type of minna. Either that or that awful jelly stuff that they spray. Or
it's a rye they're wearing black hats.
Right, that's for sure. One of the Talmid Chachomim was getting his son married off with the daughter of Rabbi Barula. Some say actually it was Rabbi Barula was being Ma'atzik Lebre by a certain family. And they went around, Vedardik Mashka, Rishon Rabbanon, but the men did it as a simon to the Talmidim. And what would be the sign of an almana then you spoke about the coast, which we ended up saying was different chavis for an almana for a betula, but if you're talking about throwing klayot, so what would be the thing you would throw for an almana? No, it would be, Tani Rav Yosef, armalta lit lekiste, it would be the not having the things that you throw. So Tosis explains that this means that they would be very makpid. So even though in normal things, stam, you know, if you were coming off of a smicha party or a siyam, they would sometimes throw things, or a bar mitzvah, they would go out of their way to make certain that nobody threw anything, which is in itself is a strong sign that this was not a regular wedding. And again, as far as the taina that we had on Amud Beis before, so there Tosfos says, okay, not having a barrel of wine, that's a big thing. But like this, you know, you can't say that maybe they didn't throw because they didn't have any nuts to throw. That's crazy. I mean, it has no tirch involved at all, no expense involved. Why wouldn't they have thrown it? It has to be bedavka. You're about to throw some? Yeah. Talks about kisne. That's what we talk about now, the little packages. The double meaning. Umoda Rebbe Yoshua, Be'omer lechavero. So then we come at the end of the Mishnah, at last, to this sort of tangential issue at the Ketuvah, in which we talk about a migu, which is a peshas or a peshiyiter, that Rabbi Yeshua is moda. If you tell a guy that this field used to belong to your dad, but I bought it from him, it's a sort of a funny case. I mean, why can't the case be moda Rabbi Yeshua b'omer lechavero sadozu shalchaita? What does your father have to do with it? I mean, you're talking about a migu. You say, look, this used to be a field, and especially Klesmas is learning that it could be even a response to a taina, but not a particularly powerful taina. So if the guy is saying, yeah, it was yours, but I bought it from you. No, that's because we shouldn't go by the Mishnah Sefer, the week. We then would not be able to read the rest of the Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah continues. But, im yesh edim shi'i shelo. If, however, there were witnesses that it belonged to the father, and he says, but I bought it from him, eino ne'eman, he wouldn't be believed. Now, let's say that would have been the case where he's talking to the guy directly, not to the father, okay? So explain to me what the case is where he's eino ne'eman. Hechidami. Ita achla shnei chazaka. We know that if you ate the produce of a field for 3 years without the other person protesting, and then he comes and says, it used to be mine, where's the deed of sale? And the guy says, look, I kept the deed of sale for 3 years. You didn't say anything. I lost track of it. So then why would he not be believed to say that indeed he bought it? Am I lo mehema? V'idi loach lashnei chazaka. I mean, what do we need a mishnah to tell me that a guy who does not have a chazaka on property and somebody has a raya that it used to belong to him, that he's not believed to say it's his? That's the whole meaning of real estate. Now, obviously he's not believed, but all of a sudden in the middle of service you're telling me a big chiddush? That's absurd. I don't understand. And if you're telling me it's your father's, why is it any different? I mean, you're saying, but now that we're talking about it, if he was made, it was your dad's, then it makes sense to say, well, it's exactly the same thing. Yochi Gabi Yofi Val answered the same question. Did he eat it Shnei Chazaka? Why isn't he believed? He didn't eat it Shnei Chazaka, so obviously he's not believed. No. Hey. Because at least it was talking about by the father, I could figure out a case that it makes sense. You see, let's say that he was Dinah was that this used to belong to the father, okay? And indeed, he did eat it, Shnei Chazaka. And nonetheless, the Mishnah would be saying he's Eino Neman. Why? Because there the case could be that he held this field for 2 years during the lifetime of the father. The father died. The son was a minor and didn't protest. And then he was Ochla Achat B'chaye Beno. So then the Chiddush would be, like we saw from Ravuna, the Omer Ravuna, Ein Machzikim Nechzei Katan Afilu Higdil. Even if the Katan grows up in the interim, because of the fact that people have a tendency to take situations that are given to them in their childhood as givens, it never occurs to this guy to go look into how come he's in the field. What do you mean, how come? He's always been in the field as far as this kid is concerned. So now all of a sudden when you come, you say, well, it used to belong to your dad, but I bought it. So you might think, he's already been there 3 years. He doesn't have to prove that he bought it anymore. Kamash Malan, as Ravuna points out, Kamash Malan this Mishnah, that in such a case he's Eino Neman. But where would there be an equivalent case if he was saying this was yours? It wouldn't be an equivalent case. So Memela, the way to understand the Mishnah is only works out where he says Sadazo shall avichaya. And then we could say, but if Adam came, then he's not believed despite the fact that he kept it Shnei Chazaka, and then there's a finish in the very last words of the Mishnah. Now everything makes sense. And if you think about it, there's no other way to read the Mishnah. In which case, what do I need Ravuna for? I mean, if every idiot could see this in the Mishnah, there's no other way the Mishnah could make sense, right? Because the Mishnah is clearly and strikingly taking up this weird case where he says it was Avicha, which is why in the world? The only possible explanation is what Ravuna is saying. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, what? Ravuna masnis not the Lashmina. I need Ravuna. Well, Ravuna is presenting now this great Chiddush. Well, it could be Ravuna. Ravuna was basically just being medayik, the Mishnah for you, and was saying over the Psak as he was medayik in the Mishnah. Or you know what? Maybe Gufa the Chiddush is he added the word afilo higdia. That even if in the interim the cotton had grown up and you continued to eat it Shnei Chazaka, that part you can't prove from the Mishnah. So he's still telling you a Chiddush. The Kamashman. That's what he came to tell me.
Avilu Higdil means even 4 years later.
And you kept it. Exactly. Right. Wait, but is it there still would be an alternative? You're saying I can't come up with a case? I can come up with a case where, forget about the father. Let's keep the case simple, okay? Let's Niobidi Day. He says, this used to be your field. I bought it from you. Now, question of, well, the Manushach, did he eat it Shnei Chazaka? Not Shnei Chazaka. I'll tell you. The case would be equivalent to a case with the father where the guy had to run away. So the case was he ate it 2 years before. And then 1 year, Shalom Bifanav, Gagon Shabarak, this guy got into trouble with the law, and he left town. So the Chiddush would be that the year that he ate it, during the time that it was Barak, is not considered to be Shnei Chazaka, and he's Eino Neman. I mean, when we have to go talk about a case of a cut and shigdil and so on. Well, wait a minute. Is that so pasha? When he got into trouble, and he had to run away, what exactly was the trouble? Barak Machmat Mai. I mean, if he ran away because he was wanted on a murder charge, okay, I mean, so then it's pshita. Obviously, the guy, if he goes away and he hears that somebody is in his field, the cops are looking for him, the last thing he's going to do is use his cell phone to call and to tell the guy, get out of my field, because then they'll trace the call. So how in the world is he supposed to be mocha? He can't afford to let people know where he is because the cops will pick up on it. So then it's pshita that that's some, what kind of crazy chazaka is that with a man, you're taking advantage of a situation where the guy can't possibly be mocha. So then it's pshita de lo mamon, de lo matzimach, there's no way for him to do a mecha. Eat the barach machmas mamon, and if he just ran away because he's got a lot of people that he owes money to, well, even if they know where he is, nobody's going to come after him because he doesn't have any money. I mean, so they understand, look, he can't take the pressure and so on. I said, what good is it going to do to keep it? So he uses his cell phone and he calls up and he says, get out of my field. So then it would be a good chazaka. If the guy wasn't mocha, it's a good chazaka. So then he boy le mechuyeh to kaim along, because after all, the halacha is, mecha'ah shelo b'fanav avya mecha'ah. When somebody is mocha, not in front of the person who is being magzit the karka, it's considered to be a valid mecha'ah. Now, Tosis points out that the whole thing seems to be a little bit backwards, because, I mean, what we're really concerned about is whether somebody who has the chazaka not in front of the guy is a good chazaka, not whether the guy's mecha is a good mecha. So it does explain. As far as the person knowing that the person is in the field, that for sure, we know that he knows. Because the word gets around, he's interested in finding out what's going on. And he asks people, he's going to know. Because he's worried. He's going to want to know whether, like, did the bank get to the house? Did they find that they find my bank accounts and so on? So he knows what's going on. The only shaila is if he can't respond, because they'll find him, so then if the mecha is not a mecha, then the chazaka is not a chazaka, because the guy who's being machzik knows that as soon as he does get back into town, that he's gonna say, well, of course it couldn't be mochas. He's gonna keep his shtar. If he doesn't have a shtar, ipso facto, he didn't buy it. So therefore, we really focus on the secondary issue, which is the source of the primary issue. If the mecha shelo b'fanav is a good mecha, then the chazaka would be a good chazaka. So therefore, since we know that when somebody is in your field and he's far away, nonetheless you can be mocha, and you don't even need your cell phone. You can be mocha by telling people that are local, look, I heard so-and-so is in my field back in wherever I live, in Timbuktu, and I want to tell you guys it's not his field, it was my field, and if he can't prove it when I get back, then it's his stuff luck. Now this guy is going to find out. Because that makes ripples. And those ripples are called chavra, chavra, islay. Everybody knows somebody. It's the old rule of six, right? It's something of an urban legend. But supposedly it takes no more than six steps at any point for you to find somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. But that's the basis of Bechor Shalom B'fanav. So we know that if you said something, eventually the guy's going to hear about it. And anybody who tried to keep a secret and shared it with a friend knows how true that is. So,
did you ever read Gardner's experiment on that? It took between 2 to 10 people.
I think I did, yes.
The average was 4.
Yeah, I did.
It turned out was somebody who you think is the best person who would know, and it can only send it to such a person. Never took more than 10.
Not bad.
So,
therefore, that's called Mecha. What's our proof? That Mecha Shalom B'fanav is called Mecha from the Mishnah. It's not. Shalosh Aratzot L'Chazakah. We split up the areas of Eretz Yisrael into three parts when it comes to Chazakah. Yehuda, Eiver HaYarden, VaGalil. So now, if Ayah B'Yehuda V'Echzik B'Galil, or B'Galil V'Echzik B'Yehuda, so if the owner is in one place, the Chazakah is in another one of these three split up areas, it's not a Chazakah Acheimo B'Medina. You have to be within the same Medina. Now, that doesn't make sense on the surface, and indeed, we asked, in order to understand that Mishnah, Avinamba, what is the Mishnah? If you believe that word gets around, so then what's the difference where you are, even if it's from Yehuda to the Galil? If you own Mechar Shalom B'Fanav, you can't rely on that the word gets around. What's the difference if you're in the same country? I mean, you're in a different city. Well, how is he going to find about the fact that you were both? So then Afilu Yehuda V'Yehuda Namilo. And Rebaba Bar Mamal explained that the meaning of the Mishnah is that Olam Kasavar Mecha Shalom B'Fanav Havi Mecha'a Umatnitin B'Sha'at Cheirum Shanu. The Mishnah is referring to a period of war in which the communications are curtailed between Yehuda V'Galil or Yehuda V'Eiver HaYarden, and therefore, when you have an artificial curtailment of communications, that people are not traveling back and forth and so on, so in such a case, Einach Inami, you would not say Mechor Shalom B'Fanav Havi Mecha, but there's no way for him to know. Umay Shalom Yehuda V'Galil, the Nakatz, then why mention Yehuda V'Galil? You should simply say that there are different countries at times where a state of war or emergency exists between the area that you are and the area that the owner is. I mean, that's, what does that have to do with Yehuda V'Galil? And that's just coming to tell me another din. That stam Yehuda V'Galil kishat cheirum dami. That almost always there were problems in communication between Yehuda V'Galil, and it's only Barnea who gets to go from one to the other with such obvious frequency and fluidity.
It's the Krishabika.
All right. But as we know, there used to be Sha'at Cheirums that were quite often in the, to prevent travel along the Krishabika. So, Lemaisa, but meanwhile, you do see from there then Mekar Shalom B'Fanav, in a normal circumstance, considered to be Mekha'a. And therefore, the pshat that we were looking for would not be very useful to us. Because the Borach would just be dependent. Either it's Pshita or it just doesn't apply.